Bro.
Welcome back to another episode on When the Bell Tolls with Big Cuz, the only podcast that can happily proclaim that most of our members are banned on social media by the big guy, Cryback.
And we are very happy to proclaim that as well. It was our goal.
Not that he'll ever see it because he's banned us all. But today I am joined by none other than Matty Ice himself. Him and his macho man impression. Nothing better than being the cream of the crop, brother.
It always rises to the top.
What's going on, brother? I'm glad to finally be back on one of these with you.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute since we all recorded. Since we all recorded, it's probably been a full year, but it's been a while since I've had somebody else record on the podcast with us, and we're closing in on about 7,000 total plays, which is crazy.
Crazy, remarkable, something I never thought in a million years would happen, but here we are rolling into 2022, hoping to get that 7,000 play, and then we'll get like a million listens next year, so I'm not even worried about it.
I mean, we're sitting here, and we discovered this week that thanks to Good Pods, and if you're not download that app, go ahead and do it, because, I did, and it's been pretty cool. On the wrestling podcast section, the indie scene, we ranked number 4 out of 100, and on the total wrestling one, we ranked number 6 out of 100.
And one of those were right underneath Cultaholic, which has a huge following on YouTube and everything like that, so.
It does, and even on the entire sports, all sports category, of Good Pods, we rank number 25, just ahead of Bomani Jones that was on ESPN.
You know, we're doing some good things here. Hopefully, we're going to just keep on growing and be number one because, like you said earlier, the cream always rises.
Yes, sir. So on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the things that All Elite Wrestling has done correctly or right in their short 2.5 to 3 year existence in the wrestling world. Now, I can remember when we got this surprise press conference by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Omega and Jericho, because, and I don't know if you remember this, we were sitting at that Royal Rumble thinking, all right, when's Kenny Omega coming out? When are we going to get the debut of the greatest wrestler in the world? And all of a sudden, about a week after that, we had the announcement of All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, if we only knew what was going to happen and just the opportunities that were going to stream out into the wrestling world by him not joining WWE as we all thought he would.
Yeah, and I'll be the first one to admit, when I was wrong, I thought the biggest thing that'll kill AEW is AEW itself and them going out to sign every ex-WWE star, which, contrary to popular belief, they've signed quite a bit of them.
Yeah, I just remember Jericho always going, this is not a place anyone can come. And it's kind of turned into a place that was.
Yeah, that's exactly what they've done. But on top of that, they've given stars platforms that they may not have got in WWE or Impact or New Japan. So it's
absolutely.
It's been phenomenal to watch them grow. Even though we're both WWE guys, it's fun to watch competition. And I even said after Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole debuted, I said, for the first time in my life, my loyalty is starting to waver to another company because one company is giving the fans what they want while the other one's sitting there looking at you going, what do you want us to do? We can't do nothing about this.
Yeah, it's kind of like, someone poking a dead body at a stick like, hey, come on, do something, please. And they're looking at you. They're looking at you going, what, did you just blow in from Doofus Town? Like, we do what we do here.
Correct. And that's unfortunately what we've grown to accept is WWE got stagnant because they didn't adjust, or they didn't listen to their fans, they didn't grow, or all this stuff. And All Elite Wrestling is giving us what we wanted as wrestling fans.
Which is crazy. When you give fans what they want, they usually stick around.
It's a novel idea. Now, if VKM will ever hear this, which he's not because he's got hearing aids, but I mean, he's never going to listen to his fans. Someone put a picture up the other day. It was 3 years ago when it was Shane and Triple H and Stephanie and Vince in the ring. Triple H said, "We're going to give you what you want." Little did we know he was talking to Vinnie Mac and not the fans.
You know, that thing still sticks in my mind of how loosely we all looked into it, because we didn't think 3 years ago this is the product we'd be getting. And here we are with some of the worst storylines in history since the Gobbledygooker.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. Now, I will say, you know, little thing, AEW's not done everything right either, but that's for another episode. But, I mean, we're going to start off with, like, one of my things is they gave stars a platform to be main event caliber that will never have got that in WWE, like a Penta Cerro Muerto or Pentagon Jr., as I've known to call him, a Brody Lee, a Jungle Boy, a Miro, John Moxley. I mean, they gave these stars a chance to be main event caliber. Hangman Adam Page, prime example. They would have never got that in Vinnie Mac's world.
And another prime example, almost every wrestling fan doesn't like him for whatever reason, but Orange Cassidy, like, he's still one of my favorites to watch, even to this day. He don't have to do much to change how he is in the ring, because that's how he is in real life. And he just, I don't know, his matches are entertaining no matter what.
You are 100% correct, and Tony Khan is giving that platform. Look what he's doing on the women's side with Hikaru Shida. Nyla Rose would never have been in Vinnie Mac's world. Taya Conti, who was in Vinnie Mac's world, doing great things with AEW. Chris Statlander, Rio, Maki Ito from Japan. These women are shocked that we know Vince ain't.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The thing is, with Vince, you have to have a certain flair about you before you're even considered, it seems
almost like you have to be like a boss or the man.
Yeah, or, you know, or just two random people be thrown together 5 minutes before a match, and we call that tag team women's wrestling.
And we're getting a tournament right now in AEW for the TBS title that has been going on for like a month and a half now. And they're developing new stars like Jade Cargill. I mean, we're getting what we've always wanted, but it doesn't center around three women.
Correct. And that's something that you had to have to build up a women's division, I feel like, is you can't have the spotlight. You can't have a mega spotlight with some flair and then two smaller spotlights for that, those two spotlights to try to get into the main spotlight. And you just know that it can't happen. And that's not how you build any kind of roster or any kind of fluidity within your locker room, because they're going to see that. I don't care how much money I'm getting. If I'm not doing what I thought I was going to be doing when I signed this contract and you told me what I'd be doing, why am I here?
Correct. And the biggest thing that I love that AEW does is tag team wrestling. Trent, I mean, we've got Best Friends. We've got FTR, Young Bucks, the Lucha Brothers, Jungle Express, Jurassic Express, sorry. I mean, we've got Private Party. We've got tag teams that are actually used as tag teams and not, oh, by the way, here's these two people that were well known out the world. Yeah, they're not in my world.
You know, these tag teams are worth a damn. Like, they actually have something worthwhile within them instead of being like, you know what, you two look good. Go be a tag team.
I'm 100% correct. And I don't know if you saw the clip from Rampage yesterday. The Lucha Bros are getting attacked. Jurassic Express comes down and saves them. And Jungle Boy is holding the tag belts. And it's Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus looking at Pentagon and Rey Fénix. And the crowd goes nuts because they realize that they're now the number one contenders for the tag belts. I mean, as a fan, the amount of athleticism, I'm like, all right, I want this match.
Yeah, that's going to be something that's going to be worth watching, and it's not going to bore me to death, which I think, you know, that's another plus we can give AEW is actually understanding chemistry within a tag team.
Correct. And, I mean, I watched the Lucha Bros and Young Bucks inside a steel cage, and it might be the match of the year, a tag team match. That never happens in WWE. Never.
No. And it never will because they don't focus on tag teams at all in WWE. They only focus on single players that might do well within a team. I mean, heck far, their number one contender, Kevin Owens in WWE, who just got massively paid, which tells me he might be massively cut due to budget later on in a few months. You know, he was in there with Shinsuke for like forever, and it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know. You watch Tamina and Natalya. But, I mean, they're doing – AEW's tag team is far and above the best in the world. And even when we talk about the best in the world, they're bringing in these – I'm calling them legends because that's what they are. CM Punk, Matt Hardy, Christian. The ones that have paid their dues – are they pushing him to the main event scene? Christian got a title match. He beat Kenny Omega for the Impact World title and then lost it the next month on Impact. But they're using these stars to build up younger. And I don't know if you saw the announcement today. Christmas Day, it is MJF and FTR in Greensboro versus Darby Allin, Sting, and CM Punk in a trios match.
That's awesome. They're nothing short of awesome.
I mean, we would never get that kind of stuff in WWE unless it's a glorified house show.
Yeah, and glorified house shows are just meh.
I mean, I think one year in Madison Square Garden, we had Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and The Undertaker against somebody. And I'm like, what the crap is going on?
Just throw them together.
I mean, and now look at those three. One just debuted in a dying Ring of Honor as the Titan. The other one's retired, and Roman Reigns has been a champion for 498 days or something, whatever the hell that is.
And the head of the table needs to go take a nap.
Gosh, I mean, it's – but back to AEW, they're doing the right things for the fans. As I don't know – because, I mean, we've both, you know, obviously the fall for us is, you know, it's a tiring time because we, you know, our day start at 6 a.m. and go to 11:30 p.m. and then we repeat Monday through Friday.
Yep.
But not getting to watch a whole lot live, but seeing these clips and stuff, realizing, wait a minute, this is why I became a wrestling fan. This. Not to watch 3 hours of glorified house shows called Monday Night Raw. I get to watch real product with essentially minimum storytelling by promo. It's all done in the ring.
Yeah, I remember when I think Mr. Straight Edge or you shared that that WWE's Friday Night SmackDown had 18 minutes of wrestling versus Dynamite or Rampage on Friday Night had like 30, 40 minutes in a 2 hour show. Yeah.
Rampage like, is 1 hour.
That's insane.
I think Rampage is a 1 hour show. SmackDown's 2 hours, and AEW doubled the amount of wrestling.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, I like Pat McAfee as much as the next guy, but I can only hear so many people talk and see promos being read and stuff like that for so long. For I'm like, where's the action? So correct. That's something else. That's something else AEW does really well is they keep us enthralled with action.
And I know, like, this past Wednesday night, Dynamite, they had, I think, three total matches in 2 hours. but nobody complained. Vince does that in 2 hours. People will throw an immortal hissy fit, but the reason they don't for Tony Khan, we got an hour worth of Bryan Danielson and Hangman Page for the AEW heavyweight title to a 60-minute draw.
And you want to talk about storytelling done without anyone saying a word? That was it.
Yeah, and even Tony Khan himself has come out and said, this is – no, Daniel or Bryan Danielson is still the number one contender, and he will get another shot down the road. And I'm like, this is what we need in wrestling. A true legend in Bryan Danielson, who's been all over the world, and a young stud of a star in Hangman Page.
Yeah, and then it works well together. They mesh together really well. That's another thing AEW does good is they literally look at what they have in the roster and they match them up with ability versus ability instead of like Mike's skill versus ability and stuff like that. Like it's really good to see when two athletes get in there and actually mesh well together.
And I'll say this, one feud that they're leading to that I'm absolutely falling in love with is Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF, versus CM Punk. Because on the mic, they're the same human, but their gimmicks are not. MJF is a silver spoon in his mouth, 3-time diamond ring winner. And then you got CM Punk, who has literally had to fight from the streets to the main event to get where he's at.
Yeah, that was actually one of mine, was just how they're using CM Punk and energizing MJF's career with him and putting more of a spotlight on MJF, which they need to. He's a douchebag.
Yeah.
And you should hate the douchebag, but you're also like, man, this guy's really good at what he's paid to do. I mean, imagine that. But
it is what we grew up with as CM Punk when he had the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah. And, I mean, MJF, you know, he called him a discount Miz, CM Punk did, but he's better on the mic than the Miz is.
110%. I agree with you.
So, that comparison I hate, but, you know, that's something AEW did really well, was getting CM Punk back to his home, which was wrestling, and getting him to enjoy wrestling again. Instead of him hating the day-by-day grind. He's not there day-by-day now. He's, as far as I'm aware, you know, he's there. He makes appearances. He does matches, which are, you know, still that 4 or 5-star quality that we know he can have.
Well, I mean, call me crazy. We don't need a house show every night of the week. AEW does on Wednesday and Friday. That's it.
That's all you need.
And they have
sometimes.
Go ahead.
Sometimes more is not good.
No, and they do their YouTube show for a couple hours each week, and it's great. That's what gets their more younger people their names out there. But no, to watch and to debut CM Punk in his hometown. Had they debuted him in Phoenix, Arizona, how well would that have gone?
Not too good.
I mean, it would have been a massive pop, but nowhere near as deafening as it was in Chicago.
Yeah, and I feel like people knew that was going to happen, but we weren't for sure.
I mean,
we stalked Twitter, and until you heard that actual first guitar riff of Cult of Personality, you never know.
And I'll be the first one to admit, people talked about it, and I said, I'll believe it when I see him walk down that ramp and get in a ring, and there it was. I was watching it going, ho, all right.
I believe.
Gotcha now, but they debut stars the right way. And, you know, I'll go with what Jericho said. They may have brought in a lot of WWE people. Contrary to AEW people, a lot of your stars have been in WWE at some point in their career. They've debuted guys like Sting, WCW guy, I'll give him that. Bryan Danielson, they brought back Adam Cole in a perfect way, even though he kind of got lost in the shuffle of Bryan Danielson. Christian, he had his shot. Matt Hardy was the only one that I'm kind of iffy on because they debuted him via drone on, I think, the second week of shows after the world shut down last year. But Brody Lee was a great one. But I'm sitting here going, they debut stars the right way.
Yeah, because I see you on Twitter almost every Monday night. That dude coming to Monday Night Raw since like October.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Beer Mahane or one of the dudes that was with Jinder Mahal has been coming to Raw since October and we ain't seen him.
Yeah, that's not how you debut somebody.
It's WWE debuted Glacier. He's coming, he's here. Oh, that's it.
That's it.
But AEW does it the right way. They mean they put their stars in pretty big situations right off the bat.
Yeah. Which can it's kind of like a sink or swim kind of thing. Throw them into the fire.
Yeah, and I'll go, do you have any, what else do you got that AEW does right?
My last one actually goes along with, I think Brian kind of has the same thing going on, is Sting and how they are using Sting to not only end his career the correct way, but also to uplift another star and also using him in a way that WWE wishes they did. Because he's not in the ring doing these crazy things and getting curb stomped or slammed or anything like that by Seth Rollins. They're doing it the right way, how a 60-year-old man should be treated in a ring.
Yeah, and I don't know if you watched, I think it was Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. It was last year against Darby Allin and Sting, and they fought in like a warehouse. And
oh, yeah.
They protected Sting beyond belief because even like Brian has watched Sting his whole career. I grew up watching Sting. You did. And Sting at the end of the match made the pinfall, but he was all still had his face paint on. I'm like, wait a minute. Sting didn't fight that whole match because everybody and their brother knows Sting never finishes a match without white paint on his face.
No, he does not, because that's the nature of face paint. But you know, that just speaks volumes for how they're going to treat him, how they were going to treat him, how they are treating him as a legend, which he is. I mean, how he's getting treated in AEW is how a legend should be treated, not some kind of sack that you just found on the side of the road full of corn kernels about, man, that's going to be a good breakfast one day. And then you wait about 5 months later and it's rotted in your pantry.
You're correct. And I'll go off like my last one. Is props the thing that AEW did right was the Brody Lee tribute show.
It went over better than the Chris Benoit tribute show.
Yeah. They dedicated an entire show to a man who was universally loved and is still missed to this day. I mean, even The Fiend did the yeah, yeah, yeah thing at WrestleMania this year. That could be why he got fired shortly after that. But their Brody Lee tribute show, ending with the boots and the TNT title draped over the ring with that purple bandana and that spotlight, that gives me chills now. And the last time I think WWE had a honor show was Eddie Guerrero. And, I mean, they've tolled the bell, but AEW dedicated an entire episode to honoring a true legend of the industry, even though he had a short run, a true legend.
Yeah, that's something you probably won't see from WWE ever again, because that doesn't bring in viewers. That doesn't make money, you know, as VKM would say. But honestly, a tribute show to someone who is universally loved was probably, you know, we don't know him personally. We didn't know him. But
no.
Everything that you've seen and people talk about, he was a great guy and he was a great father. And I think that's going to be long lasting other than, oh, did this bring in views? No, was he a great person?
His passing to me growing up rivals, and I say rivals, that's not the right terminology to use, but it's what I think. It has the same impact as Eddie Guerrero's death.
Yeah. And you know, he didn't go out the way Eddie did.
No.
You know, it's just we lost both of them quick, and both of them have impacted the wrestling world positively and negatively, because when someone of that caliber talent leaves all of a sudden, it's just a void, especially when, you know, people love you, it leaves a void for them the rest of their lives.
Correct. And for Tony Khan, and even this past week was the anniversary, or was his birthday, Tony Khan himself sent a tweet out, and it was like, "We miss you, brother." Brody Lee, otherwise known as Luke Harper. That was his WWE name. The fact mm-hmm. that a rival company paid homage to a man who most of his career was spent in another company, that spoke volumes of the type of man Tony Khan is to me.
Yeah, he's, you know, he doesn't have the, what's the word I'm looking for? He doesn't have the...
He's not a jerk.
Yeah, he doesn't have, okay, the characteristics of Vincent Kennedy McMahon, or McMahon, yeah. He doesn't have that. Like, he seems like he's a rich guy that actually has a heart, maybe.
Yeah, he's a true man of the people.
No, it's like Jaguars fans.
But, I mean, AEW is doing stuff the correct way, and I hope they stay on that path. But, brother, do you have any other final words?
No, other than I enjoy AEW's product a lot more than I do WWE's. Like, I could honestly care less what WWE's doing, because I'd rather see an AEW clip show up on my Twitter feed than a WWE clip, because here's the difference between that. An AEW clip has action and, you know, things going on. A WWE clip is backstage.
Correct.
So that's the only other thing, is fan engagement and keeping us entertained, which, you know, like, entertainment should.
Novel idea. And I'll finish with my thought. AEW is giving us the product that Ted Turner wished he could have done.
Well, you're correct. I mean, Ted Turner gave it to us for a couple of years.
Too big for his britches, and I'm praying and hoping that doesn't happen with AEW. But as of right now, they have brought back generations of fans who left because of a stale wrestling product.
It's no longer stale. It's like grandmama's cookies on a Sunday afternoon after church. Fresh.
Can we get that in a little image that grandma's cookies is all elite?
If I had Photoshop skills, I would.
But I mean, brother, thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. I truly enjoyed it. And we're going to have to get together next month or so for our 2021 yearly awards.
I agree. We'll definitely do that.
All right, brother. I love you, man. You want to talk about your new podcast, the new name of it?
All right. So if you were a fan of the Huddle Up podcast, which is underneath the same umbrella as When the Bell Tolls with Big Cuz, we have rebranded the name into the Bubble Guts podcast. Why do you ask? Because we have the best guts in podcasting. It's the same dudes, same guts. They're the best ones in podcasts. So come over and join us. I mean, if you like this, you might like football. We talk about football, and plus we're going to talk about a bunch of other crazy crap. So come join us over there at the Bubble Guts podcast.
Yeah, brother. I mean, I love recording with you all. I mean, I've got one. We talk about mental health in the No Judgment Zone. And we have a variety of podcasts to meet every need. We're trying to meet the needs of the world. I mean, we've talked about men's mental health on No Judgment Zone. We've talked about the true impact of friends. We've talked about death and grieving. And, brother, we try to cover every topic within the umbrella of the family. I mean, we've got podcasts about gaming with Straight Edge Gaming. And I'm sure that Joe, he ever want to start one, I don't know what he'd talk about, but he's got it.
That's very true.
But as a family, we've done a really good job growing our brands from, you know, just a couple guys that wanted to start talking about just sports. And it's grown into, you all got me into talking about wrestling, and it was helping with my depression and all this stuff. And now we're in like 28 different countries. And the fact that you two, you and Chop, got me going in this is a thank you that I could never repay for you all, because it has helped me immensely. I would have never envisioned in January of 2020 that people all over the world would hear my voice, hear me and you all ramble on about wrestling. That's something I would never have thought about, brother. And without you two starting your own podcast and telling me about Anchor that was free, I would never have done it. And if you go back and listen to my first episode, I talk about the Royal Rumble. It is the driest dog crap. I mean, literally, I just read the results. He got eliminated by him. Yep, not me. He got eliminated by him. That's pretty much sound like a slow auctioneer. But and here we are talking about arguably the biggest wrestling company right now in the world. And, brother, it's been a true honor to be able to done that with you four guys. And I know you all aren't going to take the appreciation and the thanks, but without you all, we wouldn't be nowhere near what we are as a family talking about this stuff.
I mean, you're right and you're correct. I will not take the thanks and all that as you want me to, but you know, it's appreciated. And I'm just glad you get your voice out there and it helped you through a dark time in your life.
Yeah, brother. So I'm going to go edit this thing, man. And I love each and every one of y'all. I want to say a huge thank you to you all for your support. We would not be here without fan support. And the fact that we're in so many countries and have talked about some crazy things with wrestling and would never something I would never have imagined just last year. So thank you all for your support.
And remember, when the bell tolls, the match is over.